Welcome to a new episode of Operation Gundog. We hope you enjoy it.
Back.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Yukonuba Sporting Dog. If you want to get everything your dog's got, you need nutrition that holds nothing back. To help unleash your dog's maximum potential, check out the new Yukonuba Premium Performance Lineup at yukonubasportingdog.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Operation Gundog. We're on episode 27, and in this episode, we're going to be interviewing Lewis West. Lewis West has a kennel down in Louisiana, and I think he could probably do a better job of introducing himself and some of his accolades. So, Lewis, thanks for being on. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hey, thanks for having me. My name's Lewis West. I own and operate Iron Sky Retrievers in Husser, Louisiana. We've been in business now for right about 6 years. In Louisiana for 3 years. Everything is just rocking and rolling. We do, you know, our big thing is competitive gun dogs. But we do just hunting dogs. We do obedience dogs. I've done aggression rehab dogs. We also do a little boarding and, we even transported some dogs. That's
neat hearing about the aggression rehab. Well, I know one of the big topics we wanted to talk to you about, and we might circle back to the aggression thing because I think that's pretty neat. You know, you have had a lot of experience with both Labs and Goldens. So we thought it would be a pretty cool topic to kind of talk to you about some of the differences and similarities that you've seen in training and how they train, if they train any differently. John, do you have any questions you want to get off the bat?
Well, for those that don't know, my dog Bonnie is with Lewis right now and has been for the past 4 or so months, and she's currently running master tests. She did recently finish up senior. She has one master pass and she has a few tests coming up. Bonnie is a Golden, as y'all may know. And you know, kind of what brought us to this topic was that Lewis has a lot of Goldens in his kennel, a lot more than most trainers, at least around here. And so, you know, with training with him, he has pointed out every once in a while, you know, what's something a Golden might do a little different from a Lab. And we were talking about it a little bit earlier, but Lewis, could you kind of get into what are some of the differences that you've seen over the years?
Yeah. So, you know, right now my kennel is comprised of pretty close to 50-50 Goldens to Labs, which is, probably a higher number than the majority of the trainers, especially in the Deep South. Really the first thing that I would say about the way that I go about training them is there is no difference in the way that I train Goldens. There's a huge difference in the dog's personalities. Labs are very robotic. They can be very mechanical and machine-like throughout the course of training. What you see is what you get, and there's not, you know, once you get past the puppy stage, the majority of advanced level dogs they're just going to be like machine like they're all business. Goldens, they all have their own personality. They're all some of them are a little quirky. They're all very affectionate. They take to training is a lot different. Labs come in, if it's say I'm training a a dog that's already had some previous training. That lab will come in and, you know, on day one, we're really getting some quality work in. Goldens are a little bit different. They have to bond with you a little bit. You know, usually it takes a week or two with most of them to where you're going to actually see what kind of dog you have. That's, you know, probably the biggest thing that I've seen between the two of them. As far as personality goes and the quirkiness of a Golden, you know, some lab people, you know, quote unquote lab people, you know, they try to, you know, when working with a Golden, you know, they try to take some of that out of them, I believe. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, in my opinion, they have to be themselves. They have to have their own personality. You know, they have to be wild and crazy and goofy. As long as they can sit there and watch the birds go down and mark and do their job, that's what we're all about. We're about them showing what they can do and showcasing their God-given talents. You know, and then going back to being themselves.
Does that sound familiar to you, John?
Oh yeah. I've talked about that with him for sure. And we've talked about it as well.
One thing that kind of comes to my mind hearing him talk about that, we've discussed something very similar in a previous episode about poodles and how labs are very, you're able to be very meticulous with them and really routine. They can drill, and it doesn't really change how they perform. And, you know, poodles kind of have a different personality. And so it's kind of interesting. I know they're completely different breeds, talking about poodles and Goldens, but it's interesting to see that, you know, there's another trainer kind of takes notice of the same thing with labs, almost like we're starting to see a little bit of a trend in breeds.
So, you know, yeah, I think that, you know, there's things that some of the Goldens do that some people, you know, question me about, and they're like, well, I wouldn't let my dog do that. Maybe the dog's just, you know, jumping up and down. Now the dog's in a heel position, but it's jumping up and down on the way to the line. It's just excited. It's happy. Its tail's wagging. And, you wouldn't see a lab, you know, you don't see many labs that do that, you know. You can pretty much lock those, you know, those dogs down, they don't ever waver, from that because they know that that's their job. And, you know, whereas the Goldens, you know, I just enjoy, letting them be themselves. And, I think that, you know, if you try to go against the grain with them, you're not going to maximize the potential that dog has. You know, a quick story, I was running a HRC test a week or two ago, and I was on the honor bucket with, you know, she's a really, her name's Gracie. She's a super, super nice, Golden female. She's a master hunter. Needs one more pass to qualify for Master National. Hopefully we'll get that coming up shortly. You know, I was on the honor bucket, and she had to put her paws on my knee while I'm sitting trying to honor. When I got done honoring, her owner said, "Hey, do you think the judge was going to have a problem with her putting her paw up on your knee?" And I said, "Man, if the judge has a problem with putting her paw on my knee, then we didn't need to pass that test anyways." And she's just so excited to be sitting next to me, and, you know, she didn't budge. You know, she was wild and crazy. she sat like a rock and watched every bird go down, and she went out and smoked the test, and she did a fantastic job, and then back to wild and crazy again.
Right. And you know a thing or two about Goldens with accolades, because I know that Joey, Gracie's owner, was saying that you have now trained two of the three Master Hunter Goldens in Louisiana.
That's the word on the street. I don't know for sure. I haven't looked into the stats, but there aren't many in Louisiana.
I haven't seen another Golden run at a test other than my own, until I started seeing you run at tests. So I've seen a million labs. I've seen a couple of Boykins. And then, you pretty much carry the majority of the Goldens.
Right.
So I have a question for you, and I think I know the answer is going to be something along the lines of it depends on the dog. But since we're kind of talking about differences between labs and Goldens, do you typically see any areas where Goldens tend to be stronger than a lab, or a lab is stronger than a Golden?
They do things differently. You know, if the way that they run, the way that they, everything about them mechanically, I think, is different. They can be, you're right that it does depend on the dog. But, I've seen labs and, for the most part with the, if you're looking at a great pedigree, a dog from, that just comes from tremendous bloodlines, a lab, those dogs are generally, excellent markers, very biddable, very trainable. But in Goldens are going to be the same way, but they're not, they will not do things the same. Labs can, to me, are, you can really, most of them will run straighter lines. They seem to challenge the terrain and the cover and the, different aspects better, a little bit more than the Goldens do. But that's not saying that the Goldens don't. I've got some dogs that John's dog is one of the straightest running dogs that I've ever seen. She runs on a rope. I think it really depends on the dog and what you're looking for.
Have you ever had a lab or a Golden that you feel like could be the opposite, like a Golden that you see is like more similar to a lab, or a lab that you're like, man, this is like just a black Golden with short hair? Or, have you ever had any crossover like that?
Yeah. So all of my, pretty much all of my Goldens, I keep them in kennels next to labs. So that way they think they're black labs and they don't know any different.
Yeah.
The working aspect of it, they're very, very similar. They're as good as, as either one of them. We're gonna get the same job done, and we're gonna do it with precision. Everything that we do is concept. From the very, very beginning when we start working with these dogs, they're all getting the same information put into their head. It's the stuff when we come off the line that's the biggest differences, and I think that and that's what I try to I try to stress to everyone that I think the worst mistake you could make when when training a golden or a lab, you act like you're training a golden or a lab. You know, if you train them all like a dog, and expect the best out of them. You know, if I get a goofy lab, you know, that's really where that comes into play, John. You know, I'm like, you know, this he thinks he's a golden. So
we've talked about the strengths and kind of compared and contrast labs and goldens. And a big aspect of dog training in general is building confidence in different situations. Lewis, can you kind of talk to the differences of labs and goldens kind of when it pertains to confidence?
Yeah. So that is really the, that's one of the most important things. With labs, it seems that confidence is a little bit easier to instill at an early age with marking. And, you know, I always go by a 80-20 rule. You know, they need to be successful 80% of the time. You know, the exposure is extremely important, especially with young goldens, you know, that we are now running maybe cold blinds with. I'm a firm believer in we'll throw marks. The dog runs out there successful on that mark, and then we'll come back. And tomorrow that might be, you know, where I set up a blind. The dog's already been out there. The dog already understands how to navigate the route to it. I think that with more important than any dog that I work with, the goldens, building that confidence and maintaining that confidence throughout, basics, transition, all the way into advanced work, is really, really important. And you know, we do a ton of fire drilling with the young dogs. If they don't run with purpose and they don't feel confident, they are less likely to succeed.
So do you think with, you know, you had mentioned goldens are a lot more cerebral. Would you say confidence is one of those things with them that needs to be built early to kind of help them be successful later on? Or is it one of those things where you kind of build on it as you go along and you kind of see in different looks, different setups, different concepts, that confidence kind of wavers and you kind of have to get them through that to build it?
I think that, it kind of goes hand in hand with the whole cerebral pattern blind, you know, deal. We have to, you know, if they overthink things, which they will do, they'll end up off in left field. Like, and you're like, where are you going? You know, well, how could you? But if you think about it and you think back, you know, 2 or 3 days before that, you're like, okay, well, we did throw, you know, a set of marks over here. And they will literally overthink anything until, you know, but then eventually it does, it all comes together. They go up to the line. They're super, super confident dogs. And, you have to build trust in it. It's really something that does grow, over time. Test with them though. You know, you have to teach them. Then you have, you know, you have to, it has to be very, very black and white. You have to expose them to every new aspect of things. If you're wanting to go over a log, you know, you can't just throw that dog to the wolves and you know, try to burn across a piece of cover, across a log or something. Yeah, you have to go. You have to show it to them. You have to teach them. You have to let them, you know, expose them to it, and build, you know, build from there. So, you know, teach first, drill, and then test.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever find that, you know, when you're teaching a concept or maybe in your yard work or something with a golden, that they pick up anything faster, or are they about on par with a, you know, labs? Is there any differences within the teaching phase of things with those two breeds that are different or similar?
Oh yeah. Huge, huge differences. Okay. So, that's probably the biggest difference between labs and goldens, as far as training goes. So they, goldens just explode from the time we get them in through, you know, all the way, obedience, collar conditioning, force fetch, line of the pile, the tee, the whole, so all the way through the yard, goldens really, they're so smart, they're so cerebral about everything they do, they're thinkers, so they go through the yard super fast. A lot of labs through that phase, they're kind of trying to figure things out, and they, you know, they don't really think too much for themselves, for the most part. And so they are a little bit slower. Now, as soon as we get through double T and we start running pattern blinds, this is where they flip-flop. So now from starting initial pattern blinds through swim by and then advancing on the cold blinds and, you know, getting into doubles and triples, labs now explode. Labs just fly through. Goldens slow down because now we've put all this information in their heads, and everything to this point has been teaching them to go to one spot, and then so they know where they're going all the time. All right, now when we go from you know, initial pattern blinds trying to get to cold blinds with goldens, what I find is you have to, when you think you've run enough pattern blinds to begin to start cold blinds, you're probably only about 50% there. There's a lot of body language that I look for in goldens. You know, me and John have talked about it before. As you're running pattern blinds and you're throwing diversion marks into, and I'm not talking about a diversion, I'm talking about, you know, a mark in the field in relation that has relationship to that pattern blind. So, you know, they, to create some suction. So the dog goes out, starts to fade towards the suction. You stop the dog, you cast. And there's something that I look for, in their head will turn and they'll look to see where you're sending them. And then their shoulder and their body will follow. So, you know, one thing when I'm going through, I'm very, very patient in this process. I don't try to push these dogs faster than they're ready to go because it'll just backfire on you. So, you know, as we're working on these diversion marks and dealing with suction and running different pattern blinds, and, you know, and I'm not running the same pattern blinds every day for months and months. We're, you know, every day we're introducing a new pattern blind. So we identify the pile, you know, in the morning we run it, you know, we're teaching every single day, we're teaching a new blind. And, you know, and what I look for is when I can cast and their entire body just turns and burns and reacts to that cast. Dog is understanding the blind game. And, you know, and, I mean, I've had, you know, I have a lot of labs that if they get in, you know, in my program at 5 months old, by 9 months old, they're at a seasoned senior kind of level, you know, we've gotten several, you know, quite a few dogs that we've put senior passes on between 12 or, you know, really 10 to 14 months old. So with Goldens, it's a little bit different. You know, they don't really, you know, flourish. But if you're patient, you know, the end result can be even better, in my opinion.
Good points. Yeah, I can kind of relate to some of the stuff that that you're saying with, you know, Bonnie, just in the short time that she's been there. You know, I feel like she has to see stuff a couple times to really get it. And it's not something that's going to be one and done. Okay, I got this, you know.
Do you you mentioned looking for body language on those casts. Do you notice a difference in their body languages, like in that transition phase between pattern blinds and cold blinds? Like, you know, when you bring a dog up to the line, you know, tell them dead bird. I don't know if you put your hand down to lock them in on that picture or not, but when you bring that dog up to the line and you put your hand down, you kind of see him lean forward and really lock in. I didn't know if you kind of notice a similar thing with Goldens. You mentioned when you think you're done with pattern blinds, you're only about halfway there. I didn't know if that's kind of for somebody who might be at home training their dog and they might not know what to look for to know that they're done with pattern blinds. But I didn't know if there's any body language cues like that that you might be able to kind of express to some people.
Yeah, I don't know how many Goldens you've been around, but every blind that I never use birds on blinds, right? It's always bumpers. Goldens are about the most bumper crazy animal that I think there, you know, there's ever been on this earth. So from day one, when they think they're going to go get a bumper, I mean, they look like they know where they're going. So they'll fool you. You know, you put your hand down and tell them, you know, say dead bird and good right there, you know, whether or not they're really understanding where they're supposed to be going and understanding the blind game goal, they will fool you. They will, you know, they look out there really, really well. They're like leaning forward. And you know, and then you stop them and you cast them and they really have no, you know, real understanding. And it's not that they don't have a real understanding, is that, they're just so cerebral, you know, they're thinking and they're looking, they don't want to make, you know, it's like a fear of failure. They don't want to make a mistake and go to the wrong place. Or, you know, if they have it in their head that, no, it's over here. You know, that's the hardest thing is, you know, you have to be able to change their mind without breaking their spirit. You know, that's not something, you know, the way that they are at the line is, you know, I think if it's done properly, your dog should want to go. But it doesn't mean that your dog's really, you know, in a step-by-step program, you know, those dogs aren't necessarily ready to go off on their own and get thrown to the wolves.
It's kind of funny hearing you talk about how sometimes they might take over and have a little bit of independence there on blinds when that's kind of that teamwork aspect of things. One trainer I was talking to recently, we were talking about dogs and, you know, the trial game. And he said, you know, I have this one dog. She's one of the best blind running dogs I had. But I knew if we were at a trial, I had 6 whistles. He said, if I couldn't get her to a blind in 6 whistles, she assumed that I had no clue where the bird was and she was going to go find it on her own.
Well, we've all been there.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that it's a matter of time before, you know, if you haven't had a dog blow you off, it's only a matter of time.
Right. Yeah. No, we've all been there. You know, dogs see, you know, especially the way that we approach training, everything is concept based. So everything has a relationship. Every blind has a relationship to marks or to, you know, terrain, different factors that are involved. And the dogs run so blinds, and so many and get so they just understand. That's what I'm looking for in the dogs, is just I want you to look out here and see what's out in front of you and understand the picture that we're trying to show you here. And and sometimes they see than what we see. And it happens. Sometimes it's hard to convince them to do something other than what they decide that what they, you know, if they feel like this is it, this is the most important thing in my life right now is going over here. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting you bring up the pictures because, like you said, everything concept paid. We show them so many pictures in training that when it's time to go test or when it's time to go hunt, they go, oh, I've seen this picture before. Like if you're running an SRS or something like that and you got a 300-yard blind and you got to hit a keyhole at 250 yards – well, when you line that dog up and it looks out there and sees two trees and you've shown it hundreds or thousands of reps through a keyhole, they're going to go, you know, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going between those trees. And, you know, that coupled with lining them up right at the thing, it's, I always think it's super cool, but also how that's really the big part of dog training is putting so many pictures in front of these dogs that they start to learn, oh, when I see this, I do this.
Right.
Yeah. But then also, you know, you got to be able to change the picture up on them if it's not the picture they're supposed to be seeing. You know, if they're start auto casting or doing their own thing out there.
Or a well set up test, and the judge knows that if a dog looks out that way, it's going to see a keyhole, so he's going to put that blind just to the left of it.
Well, hopefully, you don't have too many judges that are just out there trying to trick you, but more, you know, trying to work with some of the concepts you've actually.
Well, yeah, you know, here's the thing, as far as like. Concepts that we beat to death in training. The majority of the time, the dog that is fundamentally sound and does his job the way that it's supposed to be done is going to end up at the bird. You know, is going to end up successful. And is there, you know. I mean, that's what the SRS is there for. You know, if you want to, throw the kitchen sink and those concepts, that's what they do. But the majority of the time in the field trials and hunt tests, fundamentally sound dogs are going to go along.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, we're kind of closing in on, you know, a pretty decent episode length. Was there any other questions you had, Dominic?
Oh, yeah. So, we've been talking about labs and goldens. Lewis, which one would you want to personally own if you had to pick one?
So I'm a lab guy, man. Now I love.
Bonnie hasn't changed your mind yet.
No, look, I love Goldens, man, and I have so much fun with them. I have fun with all my dogs, though. I'm not one of these guys, you know, that says
the lab is the only way.
Yeah, or you know, I just I have fun with all the dogs, so I enjoy the personalities of the Goldens, but you know, I love labs and I can't really can't change my mind. Although my wife, we own a 4-year-old female Golden, and we just got a new. She just got a new little male Golden puppy, and I think we're gonna be getting another one here pretty soon, in the next year or so, hopefully. But
word on the street is you guys might be getting two.
Yeah. We may, yes, we, so I do love Goldens. I like just cutting them loose and watching them work and just that style and pizzazz that they have, especially, you know, here's a lot of I've had a few guys that called me up and they're like, man, I hear somebody said you're the Golden Whisperer. I'm like, man, I'm not the Golden. Like the Goldens that I have in my program are all just really, really good, well-bred dogs. So it's hard not to do good when you've got really, really well-bred dogs. But labs, I will say this, labs mature faster, in my opinion. The development process can be a little bit faster from start to finish. And I'm a big guy, and you know, I like meaty, beefy, you know, dogs. So that's just my, you know, I 80-pound lab. And I really, really enjoy. I don't know that'll ever change. Mainly, what we do here is hunt tests. But field trials are just a ton of fun. It's fun to actually get to watch these dogs go out and use their God-given talents to do some amazing things.
For sure. I have one last question for you, Lewis. Other than its owner, what is your least favorite part about Bonnie?
Well, all right, let's go back to the very, very, very beginning of this thing. And you talk about personality. We kind of talked about the personality. Bonnie's got a great personality. Bonnie's a man. She's a fun dog. She's it's like she's always smiling. You know, she's always happy. We go out, work, you know, she might even get in trouble, but then she's just like, you know, she's great. As soon as we're finished with it, she shuts that off and now she just wants to play, you know, but she is she's too affectionate and too loving, and she is too bonded with her dad. So John has come out here quite a bit, and I'll be running Bonnie, and John will be in a holding. She has no idea, at least to my knowledge, he's there. And, you know, we'll throw a bird and she'll take off. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just hook a left and go straight into the holding vine. He's over there pushing her out of the holding vine. Oh, no, you're embarrassing me.
Yeah, we have vowed to that. Whenever I'm there, I'm either standing behind the line, you know, while he runs her, or I'm running her, because it's just a no-win situation, man. It's every time.
So Bonnie is a perfect example of maturity, confidence, basically everything that we've talked about tonight, all in one dog. And then all of that coming to being patient, developing the dog, you know, it'll be slow. It'll be, you know, it's like it's never going to happen. But if you're patient and you just stick with it, it'll all come together at once. So, you know, and John had done a really good job, with her. You know, she was just starting to run, season test whenever I started working with her. So she was, you know, beyond just basics. You know, in the beginning it was the first 2 months, I'd say, you know, seemed like it was really, really slow. And then all of a sudden it's like she was shot out of a cannon. Then we went 5 for 5 in senior and also picked up a master pass with her. So, you know,
sounds like a pretty good dog.
Yeah, she's she's a great dog. She's, I think she's 19 months old. So, I mean, that's.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
her going from running seasoned with me to, you know, switching over to the AKC stuff, kind of getting ready for master and whatnot, was like a huge difference in distance. So I think that was like what I feel like was her biggest learning curve. Whenever I'm maxing out at 100 yards and now she's running to the big dog shit, you know? So I think it took her 2 months to stretch out, you know. I ran the small stuff. I say the small stuff for so long that was like really disservice to her for me to just focus on, you know, what is the maximum mark of a seasoned hunt test or the maximum blind on a seasoned hunt test. I think the maximum blind 60 yards. So, I mean, we ran a few blinds further than that, but I kind of did the opposite of what we talk about on this podcast. And I trained for the test and not, for the test to be the bare minimum. You know, that was kind of like the cap. You know, I didn't train beyond the test, if that makes any sense. So lesson learned.
Yeah, no, she, you know, and that was the biggest issue with Bonnie when she came in was, you know, she definitely had a wall. We had to get her through. You know, we had to build confidence. We had to go out and show her, you know, build things back. My initial pattern blinds for a, you know, an 8 month old dog coming out of off the tee is, you know, are 150 yards. So we start right there and build from there. That was a little bit different than Bonnie. So we, you know, what we did was we took her into swim by. We finished up. We basically started my initial pattern blinds with her and built them. And which she flew through that because, John had already, you know, had already done most of that with her, you know, but now we were just trying to, advance her as we could, you know, without cutting any corners. She really continues to impress me on a daily basis.
It's almost like John paid you to say all this.
Yeah, man.
Well, I do. We do have a business relationship.
You know what?
Yeah,
Bonnie's still on the book, so John, I am blessed and fortunate to have clients like John and friends like John, you know, that have great dogs and trust me with them. So I definitely appreciate that, buddy.
Yes, sir. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Get a room.
All right.
You have any more questions for him, John?
No, man. I ask all my questions every day.
Yeah.
I hear you. Well, Lewis, we appreciate you taking the time to come on our podcast and answer some questions and talk about some labs and some fluffy golden labs. And
man, you guys amaze me. John invited me to come on here and he said we were going to be talking about the difference between labs and goldens, and I was like, yeah, that's like 5 minutes worth of a discussion. One's good, the other one's really, really good. This was a lot of fun to kind of break them down. Although I think we were talking about goldens mainly, but both of them are great dogs, and I had a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. We'll do it again sometime.
So
yeah, I wouldn't mind having you come back and we can talk about you can break down some of those different phases of training that we kind of mentioned in today's episode. But yeah, talking about John saying that this would only be 5 minutes worth of talking. It makes me feel like we're the type of people that, you know, can talk a lot but say a little. And I hope that's not the case as far as our listeners are concerned. But we do thank you for coming on and taking the time to share some knowledge with us and share a laugh or two for all of our listeners who are tuned in. We thank you guys for listening. And if you have a spare second or two, we'd love if you guys could leave a rate and a review on this week's episode. Tell us what you think, your input, if you got any comments even to voice about today's episode. We'd love to hear them. Thank you again, Lewis. And we look forward to having you guys join us for our next episode.